Self-reliance, the very American aspiration, is best complemented by interdependence and by dependence on a network of friends, family, neighbors, colleagues, and others. That's how we all get through life.
You and I draft and administer supplemental needs trust to secure and maintain eligibility for means-tested public benefits. But as we've been discussing today, if that is all we do, we fail the people we serve. Everyone needs people who are closer to them than we will ever be. People make processes work or not. The people who are involved in someone's life on a daily or weekly basis today may understand them best, but few of them will be involved many years hence. In everyone's life, there's a changing cast of characters. Inviting more people in can both enrich it and increase the likelihood that when help is needed, someone will be there who knows what to do or who to call. Gathering people in a group, a team, enhances care and commitment as people get to know one another, come to understand how their part of the puzzle interacts with those of others, and become accountable to one another as well as to the person who is their focus. In subtle ways, people become mutually indebted to one another. As we see in our professional associations, this strengthens both the individual and the group. For years, I have been giving my special needs clients a copy of Safe and Secure, 7 Steps to a Good Life for People with Disabilities, written by Alan Mansky and published by PLAN of Vancouver, British Columbia. PLAN is an acronym for Planned Lifetime Advocacy Network, for those of you who don't know it. This book, sometimes called A Good Life, now forms the basis for creating personal networks for our disabled family members. Raising a child with special needs can be very, very isolating. Often a parent or spouse becomes the hub in a wheel of experts and assistants, receiving instructions from experts and giving instructions to assistants, a set of top-down relationships with little, if any, interconnection and communication. The people who are the spokes seemingly act in isolation from one another. The person acting as the hub may have some idea of who will be the next hub, but there may be little discussion of what that role entails and what the person being supported needs or wants, and little or no interaction among the people who are the spokes. The person acting at the hub is often so consumed by the role and so accustomed to being relied on that the thought of giving up that role can be unwelcome. This does not mean that they would not appreciate some help.
The first step may be to create a team or a network. A network is inherently stronger, more resilient, and more flexible than a wheel. It is sustainable. If a spoke in a wheel, say an attendant, is unavailable, only the person serving as the hub knows, and only that person would be available to find a last-minute replacement or to pick up the slack. In a network, whether it's organized as a telephone tree, an email list, or on Caring Bridge or a similar online system, everyone in the network or everyone who might be concerned or be able to help can easily be informed. Individuals can then step up, make suggestions, and brainstorm together. It's said that the two basic forms of Western society are the Roman Legion and the Catholic Church, both of which are hierarchical. That's not true. Families, neighbors, guilds, churches, and other social groups have long-form networks for mutual assistance. Some are formal, some are informal, many are a mixture of the two. Some, such as our professional associations, are ongoing. Some are latent, springing up to meet a specific need. Last February, the Texas Deep Freeze saw members of homeowners associations and other neighborhood groups checking in on each other to make sure everyone had food and was keeping warm, breaking up ice and shoveling snow. People happily helped one another and willingly accepted help from others because we were already socially connected, however weakly, and had built a certain level of trust with each other.
When someone has special needs, emergencies, little as well as large, just happen repeatedly. A personal support network can keep them and do much more. Thanks to a grant, for the next 2 years, Texas Parent to Parent can help families across Texas identify potential network members, organize and facilitate the network, help networks become self-sustaining, and connect the networks with each other, encouraging members to share experiences and ideas. Texas Parent to Parent recruits and trains network facilitators who assist families in getting a network started. There's a flat startup fee with later work, if needed, billed hourly. Whether a family already has a group of family and friends, neighbors and colleagues who might be network participants, or it starts by inviting a different person to dinner each week, it can then bring the group together for an activity and a discussion once a month or once a quarter. Some people will join, some will not. Over time, some people will leave while new people will join. All need to become acquainted with the process of the network, communication routines, volunteer tasks with backups for each volunteer, and the ways to support the disabled person. Social activities involving the person being supported should alternate with working discussions, both to emphasize the individuality, the personhood of the person being supported, and to build ties and thus social accountability among the members.